Super Bowl 58 is this weekend, and we discuss an in-depth preview of the game, including our predictions. We take live calls from you, and those should be fun. And we're going to give you our best bets for the entire Super Bowl weekend. Check it out and more on Crane & Company. Everybody out there listening on audio, thank you guys. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Make sure you share the show, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave us a 5-star review. Make sure you check out our Super Bowl live stream. This Sunday should be a fun day. Now, we've obviously been previewing the Super Bowl pretty much every day. We're going to dive deep in it once again this morning. But when it comes down to deciding who to take, when you look at all the variables, there's one that stands out to me, and I'm going to keep it short and sweet. I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. Let's just put it that way. Forget all the Taylor Swift stuff. Forget all the stuff on the periphery. There's some guys that when it comes down to the big game, when it comes down to the big moment, you just don't bet against them. Look at Tom Brady. Yeah, he did lose a couple times, but most of the times he won. It's like Michael Jordan. Whenever he played in a game 6 or a game 7, you could not bet against him. Some guys just rise to the occasion. Now, the Chiefs, in my opinion, have been a defensive team for most of the year. That's been the best part. I know Patrick getting surrounded with the amount of talent he had a couple years ago, maybe a little bit more than last year. But regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation, the location, or the indoctrination, I'm taking Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl. If for any reason other than he's just a dog, and I believe in him. Speaking about dogs, if all dogs go to heaven, this guy's already punched a ticket. Former Michigan quarterback David Cohn. And it's Friday, so you know what the rules are and you know who's sitting to my right.
Hey! This is Flaming Dragon!
Hello, Uncle, I am Dragon.
What? 1.5.
All right, let's
remember
do that.
Last week, I believe 3 minutes left of the show.
Why do you keep bringing
show?
This up?
Right?
I've already moved on.
They're in prevent, drop back. Jalen Milroe.
Why do you?
He scrambles out, closes his eyes, boom. Jake's hit it with the Govey name to finish the show. 4th and 31.
We'll yes.
It's a new dawn. It's a new day.
That is true,
it's David. A new life on me. Here's the rules if you don't know. If for some reason you just found out about us. Number one, welcome. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. But we can't use his government name
on Friday. Don't use my Govey.
Because he becomes a dragon. Okay, a flaming dragon. Yes. Take that for what you will. I refer to him as flaming dragon, flaming, weirdo, stinkfoot, and all type of different things. But I cannot call him by his government.
Tanner.
Tanner is good, though. Right? We agreed Tanner's okay.
See, I don't think
like that. That feels like you shouldn't. That's his yeah, actual okay. government.
All right, we're going to add Tanner to the no-say right, list. Right?
Who, okay. Well, hold on. This is our CBA. We got to collectively bargain for what the
here we go.
Is.
Well, look, if we, we're going to go down that.
Now everybody wants
I'm Dartmouth
paid.
Basketball right now.
We'll be 30 minutes into this before
now everybody
we figure out. Because, again, there's going
to
be no backing down, right, on this side. But back to the Super Bowl, David.
Yeah.
Give me, because we talked about, we kind of gave a couple of our keys the other day. Give me a key for each team, starting with the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, well, first of all, I agree with what you said about the Chiefs. I don't know. I understand with Taylor Swift being involved why people want the San Francisco 49ers to win. I don't know how right now you bet against Patrick Mahomes and what this team's been able to do with this dynasty they've created, especially in the playoffs. It feels a lot like the Georgia-Alabama matchups from the 2021 season.
Yeah.
Remember where everybody looked and said, Georgia's roster is as elite as it gets, but until you get over that Alabama hump, you know, that you got to beat the man to be the man. As far as the keys to victory for both teams, I think for the San Francisco 49ers on defense, you got to get to Patrick Mahomes consistently. Not just early, not just a couple times. You have to get to him consistently throughout the game. And maybe that's not even sacks. Some of the losses the Chiefs had this year, Patrick Mahomes didn't get sacked a lot, but he was pressured a lot, he was hurried a lot, and that created turnovers. In all of the games the Chiefs lost this year in the regular season, the Chiefs led in the or lost lost the turnover battle, essentially, mm-hmm. and a lot of those were interceptions. So I think the 49ers have to figure out a way to do that. That's why you pay Nick Bosa so much money. That's why you brought Chase Young in. You have those pieces in the front seven to be able to get after him. And then on the other side of the ball, look, Brock Purdy just has to stay on schedule. He's going to be able to do that with the game plan that Kyle Shanahan's going to call for him. I think that you have to use Christian McCaffrey more than just in the run game. Obviously, you have to establish the run, but use him in the screen game, use him out wide, motion him, all that kind of stuff, and then all of the other weapons. Hopefully, Brock Purdy can stay on schedule, because if they find themselves getting behind and he's having to force throws, which he will, the kid's not afraid to throw any throw in the book. That's where I think you could have another performance, maybe even like when they played the Ravens on Christmas Day. Five interceptions, you find yourself behind, he's trying to squeeze the football in. So I'm expecting a close game, though, but give me the Chiefs, especially with the points. Give me Patrick Mahomes plus money, plus two, plus 100 on the money line, plus 2 points on the spread. I'll take the Chiefs.
Yeah, and Flaming, I think one aspect of the game that not enough people are talking about, and that happens with special teams, is the field goal kicking. I mean, Jake Moody for the 49ers, while I think he's very talented, I mean, remember what he did at Michigan, he hasn't been unbelievably consistent. Right. He's missed not only some big kicks, but some very routine kicks. We're not talking about like 50, 40-yarders, which, I mean, now in the NFL, guys just get up there and hit it like it's nobody's business. But then on the other side, Harrison Butker, all this dude does is make field goals. That's all he does. It's a splash festival from everywhere he is. So if this comes down to, we talk about scoring touchdowns in the red zone, yes, obviously, seven is worth more than three. But when you look at, if we're talking about who's going to make the routine kicks routine, I think Harrison Butker will make every kick he attempts. And that includes, and let's not forget this, extra points, which we all know are different than in the NFL than they are in college football. That's not exactly a walk in the park. So if this game does come down to 6 points, 3 points, 4 points, or being able to set yourself up for that last drive, being down two, as opposed to being down four, you've got to make those routine kicks.
Well, routine. If you're a Chiefs fan, you obviously feel better about your kicker and your special teams. But a lot of it, when it comes down to this, I don't even think about the kickers. I think about the coaches, right? I think about Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan. When it is fourth and three, when it is fourth and two, when it is fourth and four, the decision they're going to have to make whether you do kick that field goal or you go for it to try and go get seven. We see Dan Campbell's got roasted for it. There's been plenty of coaches right now in the playoffs where you have to make a decision. But the real keys to each side of this game, I'm going to start with the Chiefs, and it's been the last couple weeks. You got to win the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Right? That's what you've done. Travis Kelce has been balling since the playoffs started. I believe he's 3 touchdowns away from tying Jerry Rice with most playoff touchdowns. He's not going to get it this game, at least we don't think. But Travis Kelce against Fred Warner, against Dre Greenlaw in the middle of the field. 49ers aren't a huge man football team. So you won't see a lot of man from the backers and Travis, but you will see that game getting played from the zone sitting from Travis and Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw. I can't see who wins that. And then on the other side, if you're the 49ers, the Justin Reed, Christian McCaffrey matchup will dictate a lot in this game. Justin Reed is that safety they bring down, that third linebacker they bring down, their nickel set, who plays a lot during the run, but he'll also be matched up against CMC in the passing game. And David, you brought that up earlier, and the lines hurt the 49ers with the running back passing game. So those are the two matchups I think. Look, I've been betting the Chiefs every week. One is the Chiefs, and two, I don't think Roger Goodell wants Taylor Swift to lose, to be honest. So I'm going with the Chiefs again this in the Super Bowl. Do I want the 49ers to win? 100%, but I still see Patrick losing.
Well, I can promise you this. If Kyle Shanahan has a lead in the second half, I bet they run the ball. I bet they feed Christian McCaffrey like he just like a fat kid walked into Golden Corral. But it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, there's so many different variables that can go on. David, can you just real quickly just go over the spread, the numbers, the over and the under, and let's hop in and see what we like here.
Yeah, that's what we're sitting at right here. Chiefs plus two. All right, that's minus 115. The over-under is 47.5, and then you get Chiefs in the plus money on the money line as well, plus 100. The 49ers money line just outright to win the game is minus 120.
Well, to me, and we're going to get to the Booster Club in a second. Remember, the phone line's open, 7:15 a.m. Central. To me, if it's plus two and I want to take the Chiefs plus two, I might as well take a money line. I might as well take, because look, game comes down to field goal. It's a lot more likely that they lose by three than they lose by two if they're going to lose. And then you get more bang for your buck if you take them on the money line. Yeah. I don't see how you don't take the over in this game. I get the way the Chiefs have been playing defense in the second half. I just feel like it just kind of feels like a 31-27 type game. That's what it feels to me with the Chiefs, and that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah, I was going back and forth on the over-under, but if forced to pick, I feel good about
it. It's really hard for me not to take an over when it comes to a
Super Bowl. I don't want to root for an under in the Super Bowl, right?
It depends on how you want to bet this game. If you're feeling really confident about the Chiefs, you take a money line. If you want to kind of go the other way, you can buy it up a point and give them a 3.5.
All right.
One thing I do want to say real quick, more money has come in on Travis Kelce anytime touchdown than any other bet with the 49ers. He's at minus 115 right now. So he worked his way into that minus money. When we did our best bets of the Super Bowl last week, Travis Kelce, I believe, was still at like plus 115.
I know he's plus 1600 to be MVP, which I don't think is
a lot of money's coming on that too. So the way I heard it was, if Travis Kelce has a big day, that'll be bad for Vegas, essentially.
Well, I keep looking at this first touchdown score, and I keep coming back to Justin Watson.
Okay.
The Chiefs. I just keep coming back to it. I don't know why.
Plus 4,000.
Plus 4,000?
Yeah.
So $10 wins you 400? I mean, you throw a hundo on that? I mean,
look, I haven't really sat down and thought about it.
Yes, you have.
You got somebody in mind.
You got somebody.
I always have one swimming on each side, but a lot of people have been pushing Kyle Juszczyk to me.
Juszczyk?
And he's been kind of getting some goal line looks a little bit. And leave it up to Kyle Shanahan to put something in there, maybe a little special.
What are the numbers?
Fullback dive at the one, or like arrow route?
The play action. Okay.
Well, he's plus 3,500.
He's plus 3,500. So Justin Watson has better odds than Kyle Juszczyk.
No, Kyle Juszczyk has better odds than Justin Watson.
Really?
Kyle Juszczyk's plus 3,500 to be the first touchdown of the game.
Justin Watson was
plus 4,000.
Telling you, Justin Watson. The white guy on the outside.
I'm sorry. Better odds. Yeah.
That's on me. No, you're right. You would win. It's just like I'm not one of those guys. I don't want to take Christian McCaffrey. It's not worth to me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Sort of like if it's anything less than plus 800, in my opinion, it's almost not worth.
I agree with that.
It's just tough for me to.
Three players are under plus 800.
So I guess.
Travis Kelce. Yeah, go ahead.
Travis Kelce, CMC, Deebo Samuel.
No, Isaiah Pacheco's.
Pacheco, grow up, Blaine.
Samuel's plus 850.
I like it. We want to know, drop your Super Bowl prediction in the chat. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. But we got a new tradition. Every time we get a new sponsor, we're going to make this noise.
New sponsor alert.
Yeah. All right, our friends over at Track Grabber. All right, what is that, you may say? Well, guess what? If you live in anywhere where you have mud or snow or your truck can get stuck or you're like, you're from where I'm from and you just go right out in the mud, you know, for no reason, our friends over at Track Grabber, whether that's camping, road trips, and outdoor adventures, they have you covered. It's pretty simple. You get stuck, you put Track Grabber on your tires, you're not stuck anymore. I mean, the other day in Nashville, I mean, it was snowing. I felt like I lived in Whoville. Nobody could go anywhere. If I just could have gone to the garage and thrown a Track Grabber on the wheel, I could have gone to the gas station and maybe got the can of dip that I needed for about 8 hours. But with Track Grabber, they make it unbelievably easy. The patented device lifts and moves stuck tires from whatever surface will not allow traction. The sturdy rubber blocks fit the shape of the tire for a secure grip that will not slip, so you can go on your trip. That's right, got more bars than a prison on Bourbon Street.
And
a typical install takes about 30 seconds per wheel. All right, you're not down there just having to work on it for an hour and a half. We all have it now. I wish I could have had it for the snowstorm, but having one of these in my trunks and in my wife's trunk, right, makes me feel a lot better if she's got to go out there and brave the elements. My wife works in the equestrian world, so, I mean, she's driving through. It's like one of those Ford commercials, like on top of a volcano or next to a mountain or in Narnia somewhere. So, right now, you can get 20% off your order with promo code Booster at trackgrabber.com. Here's how you spell it. TRACGRABBER.com. It's not track with a K. It's TRACTrackGrabber.com. Use our promo code Booster, BOOSTER. Again, that's trackgrabber.com with code Booster. You get 20% off your order. Welcome them to the Booster Club. I mean, we got people from everywhere. I mean,
yeah.
Guatemala, Kansas, the Ukraine, you know, the North Pole, the South Pole. So check that out. It's great stuff. And also, yeah, the South Pole people are mean.
Angry elves.
They're mean. They're angry. Also, our Super Bowl live stream this Sunday, all right, 6:15 p.m. Eastern. Hop in here. Let's have some fun. We're going to have food, friends, and emotional friendship. That graphic does look fantastic, guys. And also, we're going to throw our link for merch in the chat. When you buy, it helps this guy be super fly. All right, I'm done rhyming. Let's get to the Booster Club. Right, or am I? I may have just started.
Whoever said that I should have used this for my Achilles, get out.
That is top shelf comment.
Banned. Moderators, banned.
Give that person a trophy.
Let's go to Ozeki Andrew, hashtag AskCranny Company. He says, is the Niners' best comp the 2001 Patriots? defensive led. Malloy, Brewski, Law, Warner, Greenlaw, Bosa, last round QB, Kevin Fox, a poor man CMC with a balanced offense.
I don't think the 49ers are a defensive team.
I don't see it that way.
I actually think, you know, in the playoffs, especially early, I mean, I watched the Packers run through them like the plague, right? We saw the Lions. If the Lions wouldn't have dropped the ball, you know, two or three times or made some crazy decisions, they were scoring on the 49ers at will. So I can understand what you're saying in the vein of it. But to me, I think that comp is a little bit off because I still look at, as crazy as it sounds, with all those stars you just listed on defense, and yes, Mr. Irrelevant at quarterback who got drafted even further than Tom Brady, like that's spot on. The difference is this Mr. Irrelevant, the offense, the best part of the team.
I know. And the 49ers, it's weird because there are so many stars to go around on both sides of the football. But I agree with you. Now, that's not to say they couldn't have a legendary defensive performance this game. It's probably going to take a little bit from everyone. But I don't see the 49ers winning the Super Bowl unless this offense really shows out. And if they do and they win the Super Bowl, we're going to all go back and dissect that Christian McCaffrey trade even more, because the 49ers gave up a lot of pieces to the Panthers to bring CMC in. And if they get that Super Bowl, it's going to have proven to be.
Well, it just shows you, too. I mean, at some point, you got to catch some breaks, man. Like
he stayed healthy.
Not even him, but Trey Lance. Mm. You gave up a lot to get Trey Lance. You missed on Trey Lance. But thank goodness, Beaver Cleaver just over there painting the fence. Just painting, and you just happened to walk by, and somebody set a football, and he came a-running.
He came a-running.
Boy, whoever made that draft pick. It's like did you see Kyle Shanahan, who allegedly was a little bit intoxicated at the media days? Did you see him answer a question?
No.
Listen.
Allegedly.
Oh boy, it was deep. He talked about how he had to go in after some part of camp and tell the owner. The owner was like,
yeah,
hey, how's it going? He's like, our third string quarterback's probably our best quarterback.
Really?
And he's like, that's not what you want to tell an owner. You know, maybe the second string guy has come out of nowhere and he surprised a lot of people. That's great. But the third string guy, well, it's got you in the Super Bowl.
There you go.
Let's go to Connor Montgomery. If you're the Chiefs, do you play run and force Purdy to pass? Every game they've last, he's thrown multiple picks and got away with multiple throws.
Well, here's what I'll say, and I want to make sure, and I think people have a habit in sports media and in sports in general of kind of narrowing the focus and kind of speaking in absolutes. Well, you need to just do this or you need to just do that. You can have the focal points. Obviously, you do want to stop Christian McCaffrey, but the way you get after an NFL quarterback is not by consistently doing the same thing. It's either being diverse in what you're showing him or doing the same thing pre-snap and ending up with a different result throughout the game. So, yes, you can harp on things. You're going to have tendencies. You may be heavier against the run 60, 65% of the time as opposed to 30 to 35% of the time, but you've got to be able to mix it up. And really what it comes down to is third down. Let's be honest. Are you in third and three or less? Third and three or less against anybody is tough, but against the 49ers with what they can do and who they have, it's damn near impossible. So once you get Brock Purdy, if you're able to, in third and passing, that's where the game, in my opinion, is really going to be played. How much pressure do you bring? Do you sit back and just rush four? Do you show pressure, then bring it? Show pressure, then bail it? The answer, I think, is all of the above. You obviously have focal points. So remember, if you do donate, it's on topic. He'll read that.
Let's go to Adam Shepherdson. What is up, brother? He says, San Francisco is 20-0 when scoring 20-plus points. I think San Francisco finds a way, although I'm not comfortable betting this game.
Here's what my instincts are telling me, and I think a lot of you guys are going to follow the bouncing balls along with me, but before we move on here, I feel like the Niners are not going to start out as bad as they've started the past two games. I don't see that happening. Because if they do, when the Chiefs put their foot on your throat, they kill you and leave you in the woods for somebody to find. Mm-hmm. They're not going to let you hang around and walk out to the interstate and flag somebody down. It's not the way that works, and this game's going to work, in my opinion. It feels like the Niners are going to have the lead most of the game. That's what I feel like. It's going to be a little bit back and forth, but the Niners are going to have a lead most of the game. And then the Chiefs in the fourth quarter in about the last 5 minutes are going to find a way to get the lead and put the pressure on Brock Purdy and that San Francisco 49ers offense to drive down the field. That's why I keep talking about how we obviously know kicking field goals is important, but being able to be down four as opposed to down three or down two on that last drive is absolutely massive.
So the stat there was the 49ers haven't lost a game when they've scored over 20 points.
20 and 0.
And the Chiefs haven't given up more than 27 points this entire season. Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs haven't given up double-digit points in the second half in like the last 9 games.
Incredible.
Which is just insane. That's why I'm telling you, you better not let them run out. If the Chiefs run out on you with Mahomes and Kelce, and you bringing up that zone coverage is a big deal. You're not stopping Travis Kelce and
That's one of my bets.
You're not doing it.
One of my bets is Travis Kelce 70+ yards. I don't see Travis Kelce get anything less than 70 receiving.
Well, the hard part is you can sit here and run zone coverage and say, we're gonna stop Travis Kelce. But if I'm running zone coverage,
you're not dictating
where Travis Kelce ends up. Like you obviously have option routes against man coverage, but that's based on leverage. If he's inside, I'm going outside. If he's outside, I'm going inside. If his dumbass is right down the middle of me, I got a two-way go. Let's just go easy street. Let's go inside. Well, in zone, right, the leverage isn't dictating it per se from a close standpoint, but you're not going to be able to sit here and just jump Travis Kelce into somebody else's territory.
And that's what's really strange. And go back to the Ravens, because the Ravens ran a lot of man. Right? If it's me and I'm a defense coordinator, I would want to run man against his Chiefs.
Well, think about who... Travis Kelce scares you to death.
Who else?
Right? Who else? Rashee Rice? I'm not afraid to put any of my guys locked up in man coverage. I'd feel a whole hell of a lot better about running man coverage against the Chiefs than I would running man coverage against the 49ers. Mm. That's for sure.
Yeah. The thing about it is, you know who really shines when they start to run man coverage is Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Yeah.
And Andy Reid, because he's going to design plays. He's going to design the mesh crosser concepts that are going to get guys open like Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Anybody who can catch the ball open when you get a nice pick play over the middle. So you can't, like you said, you can't just do one thing.
You can't just do one. Evening.
What's the essence of the evening? What's the game plan distilled? Like that's kind of how I think about it. It's like, what's the main thing you go to in the biggest moment?
Again, I'll go back to what I said. It's third down passing to me.
Sure.
Like what do you run on first and 10? What do you run on second and 8? What do you run on second and 4? Whatever. Once you get to third and passing, are we more man or are we more zone? Because you do bring up the man problem again. Where does Patrick Mahomes really kill people when they get man coverage?
When they get running, their back turned.
When they get their back turned and then he's gone.
Yeah.
And
they've done poison, right?
But Joe Tooney being hurt this game, the center, I am interested.
He was hurt last game.
He played a little bit last.
I thought Joe's a guard.
Yeah. I thought Joe was the center.
Creed Humphrey's the center.
I'm losing my mind.
Oklahoma finest.
Which, again, you never want to lose an offensive lineman, but I'd much rather lose a guard than a center, if we're going to be honest. All right, let's get to a little rapid fire here.
All right, rapid fire. I also have a sound effect for that. There you go. Michigan Athletic Director Ward Manuel is going to be the new college football playoff chair. He is going to replace North Carolina State's Boo Corrigan. I'm a little bit conflicted on this just because obviously Ward Manuel is a Michigan guy. A lot of Michigan fans are mad at him for the state of the athletic department in many ways, but they just went 15-0 and won the national championship. He played football at Michigan. At the same time, I have a deep disdain for any coalition or committee that's created to oversee college football. So I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on this.
Ward, I think you're a little too hard on the Beaver.
I've seen that movie.
So is Eddie Haskell, Wally, and Miss Cleaver. My question is, like, when is that dude going to kill Daredevil? Like he 100% looks like Kingpin off Daredevil. Tell me that's not him. Like, if he starts beating up blind people, I'm really going to know what's up. I don't hate this. I don't hate this, David. I'm just, at what point with the committee, and I like that they added Pat Chun, who's a football guy. I like that they added Gary Pinkle to the committee, who's a football guy. I want football people. Ward Manuel, and I there's things, I'm with you, man. Right, y'all's president at Michigan, Apollo Ono, whatever.
Santa Ono.
Yeah, I was Santa's Ono, whatever.
Apollo's a dog.
The speed skater. I like the way he handled it. Didn't like the way Ward Manuel handled it. But Ward is a football guy.
Yeah.
He played defensive end. I don't want a bunch of Mike Rossies from Suits running the college football playoff committee.
Mm-hmm. So this is who they all added. All right, they added Washington State athletic director. They added Ohio State Patrick Chun. Former All-American and Pro Football Hall of Fame offensive lineman Randall McDaniel.
Yep, Vikings.
Former Toledo and Missouri head coach Gary Pinkel. Baylor AD Mac Rhodes. Virginia AD Carla Williams. And Arkansas AD Hunter Yurecek.
Again, it's kind of a mix here. Let me ask you this. Should it be an all-male? Should it be an all-male committee?
I don't have as much problem with that is just the selection process in general. Like, all of these people are coming in with their own agenda and their own biases. Like, Ward Manuel's the athletic director at Michigan. When it comes down to a final
But vote, doesn't everybody have bias? Doesn't everybody have a team? Couldn't you make that argument for anybody that you brought in?
That's why I'm saying, like, in the NFL, it's not up to, it's left on the field, right? Like, who won the division? You won the division, you're making the playoffs. I don't care if you're not as good as the second best team in another division, you won the division. Objective metric so that we don't have to get all these people in a room. Now, the 12-team playoff is going to solve that a little bit, but even executive director Bill Hancock, when he named Ward Manuel the college football playoff chair, I mean, in here in this article, it says much of the way the committee has operated is going to remain the same when it comes to their top 25 rankings throughout the season. And a lot of the 12-team playoff is going to be based off those rankings.
Well, would you rather have, again, I think we should put together a commission that has people, you know, in the media, former coaches, we've talked about this at nauseam, it seems. The 12-team playoff's going to help. I'm just to the point now where, do we even need a committee? Like, and I don't want to take it back to the BCS, like, why don't we just do computers? Like why isn't it just computer-based? Like, if you want to take the bias out of it, right? Well, why isn't it just computer-based? You have this, you know, you see RPI and KenPom and Net and stuff in basketball, as opposed to, well, it's between Florida State and Bama. So you say, look, the computers did it, right? There's got to be a formula that, you know, again, we got people walking around with Apple Pro Vision goggles and we can't figure out who the eighth team in the 12-team playoff should be.
I saw that come out this week. What's the deal with the new vision goggles?
See, here's what I do. I wait on the second generation technology. Because let's say something's wrong. Let's say this one turns you like colorblind or something. I don't know. I'm not saying it does. I'm not a vision scientist. All right. But I'm going to wait, just like everything with Apple, I'll wait until the next one comes out. Because it's going to be a lot better.
Meanwhile, Dragon's over
there. They're doing like Tony Stark driving down the road.
I mean, that's basically what it's turning into. I don't know if y'all saw this, but you can have meetings with people. And I think Facebook is doing this. With the VR, like, it looks like this. To have it, you can be in your house.
But like, what happens if I get up and walk into something?
It'd be just, we'd be looking at each other just like this, having a meeting.
But then we can't hug it out.
That's what I'm saying. Well, that's what society has turned into, a bunch of people who don't want to talk to
you. What happens if I'm getting robbed? Like, the best time to rob somebody would when they'd be in an Apple Pro Vision meeting, like with their VR on.
Yeah, that'd be tough. That's
true. Like, I'll get the silverware, I'll get the cash.
All right, next one up here. A couple more college football things, and you guys got to help me out here with whatever I missed throughout the week. But I saw some news with Kirk Herbstreit. Apparently, he had a phone conversation with Dylan Raiola's father.
Kirk Herbstreit.
We talked about it yesterday. Okay. Yeah, we talked about it.
So not a big deal, right?
Look, Kirk Herbstreit can talk to whoever he talks to.
Like, what we were talking about. Go to Nebraska, right?
Yeah, well, he was like, man, this is something you ought to do. Again, Kirk Herbstreit can call and, you know, I'm just surprised it wasn't Ohio State. To be honest with you, that's what I'd be doing if it was me. I'd be like, God, man, look, flipping to Nebraska, that'd be sweet, but Auburn? There's a place you really need to consider. No, what we were talking about yesterday was like, there's been like a couple instances of like ESPN combating Georgia. You know, we kind of went through all what's going on. Remember, you know, McAfee telling the Georgia fans to go to hell. Obviously, Pollock's no longer in game day. Then you had this. It just seems like there's been multiple things against Georgia. We're just like, is there like some sort of vendetta against Georgia or something like that? Which, look, it's fun to talk about. We kind of came to the point that we don't think there is. It's just really a coincidence at the end of the day.
That's what
but it's an interesting conversation.
All right, moving on. How about the SEC's financial distribution from last year? $51 million for each individual school. Did you talk about that?
No, we
didn't talk about that. You want to know why Florida State and all them were so pissed? Because they look at that. They're like, Vandy got $51 million. What did Florida State get? We got two signed jerseys and a picture of Boo Corrigan's mother. Like that's I mean, I'd be pissed too. I mean, you're falling so far behind. If you just look at Florida, but like if I'm Miami, I'm pissed too. Mm-hmm. Right? Because that you cannot operate in the space that we are going into with NIL and I mean we're already in, but what we keep moving into, operating at a deficit. Like the ACC is with the SEC. $51 million. Is any school, is there a higher robbery going on anywhere outside of politics than what Vanderbilt is doing in the SEC?
Northwestern in the Big Ten.
I mean, yeah, but.
No, they did go 7-5.
Northwestern just went 7-5. Yeah, after they, you know, had the turn off the lights.
The Big Ten has even higher revenue.
Like, it just. 51 mil per. It was $741 million overall.
How long is it going to take before the bigger brands in the SEC are saying the same thing that the big brands in the ACC are saying, which is, okay, why is there an even distribution of wealth right now? If we're all capitalist and we all want free market, why isn't Alabama and Georgia and LSU getting the lion's share of the
district? I think because they don't want to upset the apple cart because they have it so good. It's probably the same reason all these super rich people get together at the Bilderberg meeting. And yeah, this maybe, oh boy, does deserve more than the share he's getting. But look, they're not putting you up in the owl and setting you on fire. Sometimes you just got to be happy to show up to the meeting dressed like a furry and drink some really good champagne and leave.
What parties have you been to?
Not that one. Maybe one day. Yeah,
they're not parties.
I've seen a lot of eyes wide shut.
All right. But look, if you're gonna party, you need to be awake. You need to drink coffee in the morning. And if you're gonna drink coffee in the morning, it needs to be Black Rifle coffee. All right, it fuels the Daily Wire. You walk around. I mean, it's if you're not drinking Black Rifle coffee around the Daily Wire office, I mean, how much am I really supposed to care about you? All right. Not only do they have ready-to-drink cans for people who have no time to brew coffee in the morning the old-fashioned way, but their coffee subscription gives you a chance to purchase limited edition flavors. Flaming Dragon, when is the Flaming Dragon brew coming out? Have you talked to the people?
Look, I know I haven't said this before, but it's in the works.
All right. I tell you, you'd be a great politician. Right, you just keep saying something's going to get done and never gets done. But the coolest part about Black Rifle Coffee, other than it's super delicious, and the bags are also awesome, they got names like Power Llama,
which is
what we call a Saudi Arabian tank. It's a camel with a machine gun on it. Then we got Gunship. That's an AC-130. If you hear it, you're already dead. And then we got Blackbeard's Delight, a pirate theme that they're not going to ruin.
That one.
But it's veteran-found. It's a veteran-founded coffee company operated by principled men and women who honor those who protect, defend, and support our country. And with every purchase you make, they give back. So save money and drink America's coffee. Like this. Go to blackriflecoffee.com. Use promo code Booster. Are you sensing a trend here with promo codes? If you use Booster at checkout, you get 10% off your one-time purchase or your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com. Promo code Booster for 10% off. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee in America, Americans. All right, let's get to the Booster Club.
All right, Chad, hit that like, hit that subscribe button. If you donate, it's on topic, I will read it. Make sure to throw your question in here.
That's the card,
stupid. Then I'll read it even more. Let's go to Jan B with a $14 donation.
14, y'all.
Thank you, sir. Congratulations to my boy Steve McMichael for making the Hall of Fame.
Yep.
God, Team Purdy is going to win it, and I can't wait. Don't you believe Flaming and Jake?
I would not be upset at all if the 49ers won, Jan. I would not be upset at all. In fact, I'd be happy. I'd be happy for Brock Purdy or Anna Frey or whoever that person really is. But I know what's going to happen. Travis Kelce will score the walk-off touchdown, probably in the new overtime rules. That's probably how it'll work. He'll score the walk-off touchdown. He'll propose to Taylor Swift. She'll say yes. Next music video will be clips of that. And then we get to hear about it to the end of time. Which, you know what? Do you. It's a Dave Matthews song. What little boy doesn't dream about proposing to some megastar after scoring the game?
I said this before the playoffs started, all right? Travis Kelce, they're going to win, and he's going to propose to Taylor Swift.
That would be so lame.
On the field.
That would be lame, Justine?
Yeah, I would hate that.
It'd be so lame. You would crawl over broken glass backwards if somebody proposed to you after scoring a walk-off touchdown.
I just don't know.
Don't bring your hatred in here.
You propose to the one and only Taylor Swift.
Yeah, this is some real Cinderella stepsister vibes you're throwing out right now.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Let's go to Jeff Gutterson. Hey, you need to watch yourself after the language you used on all.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
Let's go.
People don't forget.
Purdy, the last pick in the NFL draft in 2022, number 262 to the Super Bowl. And guys, you know what he is going to do when he wins it. I don't, but I can't.
I don't, but it'd probably be pretty sweet.
Say what it is, Jeff.
Look, it's a great story. It would be an incredible story, right? We haven't seen something like this since Tom Brady, right? But he didn't get drafted, like I said, as late as Brock Purdy. The last guy taken, the last kid. Remember, this would be like in PE, that last kid that you draft for dodgeball or in sports, you know, little Jeffy Tompkins, right? He has two left hands, right? Webbed feet. He's got glasses with the connectors on the back of them. Then all of a sudden you go to play dodgeball. And the some guns, Tim.
They don't be talking about that kid from Cleveland State like that.
Yeah, like he's Tim Lincecum, and he's throwing the dodgeball through people.
You're out.
Yeah, it's like Dragon Ball Z. Also, the phone lines are opening up here in 8 minutes. Here's the number, and we're going to put it in the chat, all right? Even if you don't like getting proposed to, all right? It's a Super Bowl, like apparently some people don't. It's 1-855-236-3228.
Let's go to Jack Doe, 1190.
I didn't say it. I stopped.
No, you said it.
What I said, but, said and
it.
I stopped.
Let me go back and watch the tape.
Yeah, go back and watch the tape. Hey, go back and watch the tape.
Go back and watch the tape.
That's what I'm saying. I'm dead serious.
We need a challenge flag.
That's what I said.
We need a red challenge flag.
If they challenge it and don't get it, that's two.
No, it's not. What?
Again, we need our collective bargain.
No.
What do you mean?
So you get a timeout
taken away.
We have to get our CBA.
We don't have a challenge for the rest of the show.
If you lose a challenge, there has to be repercussions.
We get two challenges. We get two challenges. If we don't win this challenge, we lose the next one. It doesn't get to be two.
I love that we're figuring this out. Just
all right, let's go to Jack Doe, 1196. As a Baltimore fan, there is no Super Bowl. There's only an Usher concert in Vegas.
That's true. Here's the real question. Will one of the kickers go out and watch the halftime of the Super Bowl like Oh Boy from the Bengals did? You remember that? What a G.
All right, let's go to Farmer Jake with the $7 donation. Appreciate it, brother. Good morning, Boosters. Congrats to David, first of all.
Thanks.
Stoked for the Super Bowl weekend. And just a friendly reminder to Justine to watch her language.
Yes, yes. You watched that language, Justine. She said a bad word accidentally.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about, and I don't like this slander and defamation.
Oh, it's slander and defamation.
Yeah, go back and watch the tape. Nothing was said on that.
Okay. Oh, okay. I wonder if there's been any doctoring of the tape. We'll see. I don't know.
All right, let's go to Chad Moreland. What's up, Chad? Chiefs win 27-24 in a last-second field goal, and Taylor Swift spills Diet Coke on her number 87 jersey. It's the only Chiefs blemish of the day. Taylor pulls out another jersey, and all is well. Chiefs forever.
Yeah, or plot twist, Taylor Swift runs off with Jason Kelce halfway through the game.
With his shirt off?
With his shirt off. That's right. They get on the jet.
Talk about a movie.
Yeah. I was thinking about this the other day. What is the obscure bet that's going to hit? Will it be an octopus, right, where you score the touchdown and the same guy gets the two-point conversion? I want to see that. I was talking with Davies about this yesterday. What are the odds now on a ball hitting an upright?
Oh, yeah. Baby Cone hit one of those last.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, it's a good bet. I wonder what the odds on that are. We need to try and find that.
All right, I'll find that.
I believe we said it yesterday. It was plus 800.
For the ball to hit the upright?
Because we talked about this yesterday on the show, I'm pretty sure. And it was plus 800. I didn't like it because I felt like it should have been more.
Yeah, it should be more.
Like, it shouldn't be the same number that people
Here's the question. When they say upright, do they mean, is it only one of the two uprights or can it hit the crossbar?
I think it can hit the crossbar.
It can hit all three, right?
Yeah.
Let's go to David S. What is up? Really hope the 49ers win so we don't have to hear about this manufactured relationship anymore. I can't take it anymore.
Man, at this point, look, I don't... The Taylor Swift hate, I can understand why people are annoyed at seeing her all the time during the game. But it really doesn't bother me that much, like, to be honest with you. Like I'm not sitting there screaming at the TV, shaking in rage when they show Taylor Swift. And I'm like,
I'm unbothered.
I would rather just watch the game. But they did the same thing for Jessica Simpson and Tony Romo, which, you know, nobody's really pissed about that. I got to see Jerry Jones, 300-year-old ass, eating chicken wings the wrong way, like every time the Cowboys make a mistake. So, you know, I get it a little bit.
Let's go to Ruka 617, the Daily Wire chat says Jake's going woke for looking for female representation in the college football community.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
whoa. Who would have thought? Not
whoa, me. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I said, do we need any women on the panel? Because somebody named Carla was on there. I was asking my friend David Cohn, should it be an all-male panel?
Yeah, you were kind of going in the opposite direction.
Don't CNN me, Don Lemon.
And then you went from that to, no, let's just let computers do it.
Yeah, male computers.
I have a few more updates over here.
Go ahead.
It looks like the University of Michigan is finalizing a deal with defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. Was the Giants DC last year, left, had a little bit of a friction there with Brian Daboll.
Like
coach for John Harbaugh at the Ravens. Coach for Jack Harbaugh back in the day as an assistant at Western Kentucky. Wink Martindale to Michigan. I mean, a lot of people have been talking about how Jim Harbaugh, we knew he was likely going to head off to the Chargers, but he's kind of raided the Michigan staff a lot. Like, took Jesse Minter with him, took the strength coordinator with him, several of the coaches. But this is another example of how the relationships between the Ravens and the Harbaughs come in handy. Wink Martindale, DC at Michigan.
Look, the Michigan defensive coordinator job's a hell of a job. It's especially here lately. I mean, this is just an absolute pipeline.
Mike McDonald
to the
Seahawks.
League. But so here's my question, man. If Wink Martindale wants to go from NFL to college football, I guess the new rules in the NFL are just ruining the sport. That's what everybody does in college football. Oh, college football coach goes to the NFL. I guess college football is being ruined. No, it's a great hire. I always get so fascinated. I'm a lot more fascinated by the guys that come from the NFL. Because Wink, like you said, has been in college before.
But not
but it's
for
been a
20
while.
Years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Western Kentucky from 2000 to 2003. Since then, Raiders, Broncos, Broncos D.C., Ravens, and Giants.
Yeah, I mean, he's been around. It's they recycle coaches up there. But very knowledgeable guy. It's a great hire for Michigan. I don't think you can go wrong hiring Wink Martindale to coach defense.
What do you think? Michigan continues their dominance on the defensive side of the ball?
I mean, yeah, not only have Wink, but you have a bunch of pieces coming back on that defense. You're going to have to play well because that offense lost a lot.
Yeah.
Y'all lost. Yeah, it's a great hire. I'm never worried about Michigan's defense. A
couple more things here. Luke Fickell said something about wanting Mike Vrabel to come and be a part of the program at Wisconsin. Because they go way back.
They're tight.
Okay, so what are the details?
So he wants, obviously, you know, Mike Vrabel didn't get an NFL head coaching job this go around. Be interested to see how it goes, you know, next year. Does he decide to go to college? Maybe if he hangs out with Luke Fickell a little bit. But I've got a theory on this.
Hmm.
Wisconsin hired Alex Grinch to be on the defensive staff.
What does that mean?
Maybe by bringing in Mike Vrabel, you can cancel out all the bad stuff.
So who's the DC technically?
So I believe, and I know you look it up, that Alex Grinch is the safeties coach. He may be co-DC, but I believe it's in the secondary.
Alex Grinch, co-DC
and safeties coach. And safeties coach. Yep, that's right.
I don't know if you'll saw the article, but Alex Grinch has a chip on his shoulder now.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Like he hadn't had a chip on his shoulder when everybody was looking at him pointing when he was with Lincoln Riley.
So is Mike Vrabel just hanging around, or is he like that one uncle for that one recruit who's just always around?
No, I think Mike Vrabel is, again, you can't just stop and do nothing. Like when you live that coaching lifestyle, if you're Mike Vrabel, just because you got fired,
getting hired?
You can't just stop. No, I think he's just going to be a consultant, like a friend, right, that comes and hangs out. He just happens to be a really knowledgeable, defensive-minded friend.
All right, Mike Tressel is the co-DC, too.
So Jim's son.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's just crazy to me. Look, I didn't think Mike's going to get an NFL head coaching job. I don't think he's going to have –
You don't think he has a chance to get one next year?
No, I don't. I don't think he'll be an NFL head coach again, but I do think like he's damn good enough to be a DC somewhere.
Who, Mike Vrabel?
Yeah.
You don't think he'll be a head coach again?
In the league? NFL. Did you see that report that came out that said that one of the reasons that people didn't like Mike Vrabel in the interview process is that he's so big physically
that
it intimidates other people? Look, if that's your problem, to keep me as far away from that organization as possible.
That smells like something somebody wrote that never happened.
That was a joke, wasn't it?
Was it a joke?
I didn't see it as a joke. I hope it was a joke, because if that's the case, number one, it's Hydest.
It is Hydest. Thank you.
You've got people out here, you know, complaining to Delta. They're like, we need bigger planes so we can finally fit my fat ass into one. Like, now we got...
I never thought that would be a movement.
No, that's actually...
Now they're coming out with commercials.
You know, the funny thing is, it's a lack of movement. You can't call it a movement. That's like when Flaming Dragon talks about it, they keep saying it's a standoff between Greg Abbott and Joe Biden. It's just stop. Why are you making jokes?
It's an anti-movement.
It's an anti-movement.
It's an anti-movement.
It's the opposite. It's a slothing.
Golly, we're getting so much ground cover today.
We are.
Speaking of which, did you hear about the golfer that shot 57? 57.
Was it me?
Cristobal del Solar.
Cheater.
Chile becomes the first player to card a 57 in a PGA Tour sanctioned event with blistering a 13-under effort in the first round of the Corn Ferry Tour this past week at the Country Club in Bogota, Colombia. He finished with 9 birdies, 2 eagles, no bogey.
They could really use him on that Chilean SWAT team that we saw.
Probably on
the other day.
57?
That's just...
I wonder what that's like.
57 on the front nine,
right? I wonder what that's like.
No.
I don't know if I'm shooting 57 on the front.
Oh, God. I'm not.
Well, it's like, I can string a couple good holes together.
Look.
I can get hot for 3, depending on how many cold sodas I had, maybe 4 holes in a row. But 57? At some point, I'm falling apart. Like, it's just, I'm not making it 18 with it all going good.
50's like... I somehow shot an 85 last time I went and played.
And I'm still skeptical about it.
And look, you can ask the audio guy here. He was with me.
Rhino?
Rhino was with me.
Rhino.
In car. Ryan. Was it legit?
Tell him, Ryan.
How many mulligans, Ryan?
Yeah.
1 of 9. Tell him, Ryan.
Okay, so you shot an 87.
So you shot 92.
I shot a legit 85.
Hey, Ryan, did he get a breakfast ball? Did he get an extra one off the first tee?
We all get him.
This is America.
Cap, we get a breakfast
cap,
ball, dude.
Man shot a 97.
We get a breakfast
ball. He's like,
wait,
hold on. I found it.
That's absolutely found it.
It was caught.
He's taking more breakfast balls than I have.
But I don't claim I shot something I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I shot a 64 today. If you don't count the other 33 strokes.
Who doesn't take a breakfast ball?
It's America, man.
Yeah, dog, we're going to take a breakfast
ball. I wonder, call-ins, people that are calling in, how many mulligans do you play with? Because, look, one aside, yeah, I'll count that, one aside. But we start getting into breakfast balls, and then there's brunch balls.
No.
Then there's a snack ball.
You get one breakfast ball in the whole round.
Mm. All right, well, look, whether you're out playing golf, whether you're out in the town, I don't know, look, maybe you've fallen off the dating scene. Maybe you've gotten older. Maybe that hair, you know, it's kind of disappearing a little bit.
Tell him, son.
Well, you need to listen up. You want me to be real with him, son?
I'll be real with him, son.
It's never too late for a New Year's resolution, all right? It's February, but you can still make 2024 the year you will stop your hair from prematurely thinning, which is preventing you from prematurely not looking as good as you possibly can. And the new Provia Hair Thinning Therapy from Chamonix is here, and it works wonders for follicle health and thinning hair. It's got a secret powerful ingredient called Procapil. No, you can't know what's in it. That's why it's a secret. And Provia guarantees more hair on your head and less in the shower. It's effective for men and women of any age, and it's safe. This is an important part. Write this one down. It's safe for colored, treated, and styled hair. It's that easy. And during Provia's Valentine's Day promotion, where you need your hair to be looking the best, right, especially if you're trying to give that pearl to the penguin, new customers can save over 50% plus free shipping on their introductory package. So don't wait. Your full, thick, lustrous, glorious, delicious, luscious hair starts today. So visit proviahair.com/booster. There's that hot word again. To save an extra 10% off your order. Provia works, or you get 100% of your money back. That's P-R-O-V-I-A, hair.com/booster. Use that promo code, booster. Don't win by a hair. Have a lot of it. All right. Booster Club quickly, then the calls.
Let's go to Dwayne T. Scott at iCloud. Want to send him an email, go ahead and do it.
You just read the man's email out loud.
That's his handle.
It's his handle, dude.
All right.
Whatever you put in the prompt,
maybe
I'll
the
read
smartest
it.
Businessman ever.
All right, says, don't really care about KC, but I've been wanting San Francisco to burn ever since Dwight Clark caught that ball in the back of the end zone. Chiefs, please.
That's a lot of hate that's been kept for a long time.
That's decades.
The catch. Decades. I gotta respect it.
Let's go to Mike Mason, 40, says, Travis Kelce is a Pfizer-promoting libtard. Debo, Kittle, and McCaffrey are going to run it up. Give me San Francisco 38, Chiefs 70.
Look, you can think of what you want about Travis Kelce, and you know we don't dive into politics on here, but regardless if he's Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, identifies as a moose wearing sunglasses, the dude can ball.
He can ball.
Especially if you're playing zone
This
coverage.
One's putting a lot of people in a bind here, though, because you either have to pull for Travis Kelce and the Taylor Swift combination or San Francisco. It's a tough spot.
Hitler Rock. Versus Stalin, dude.
Tough. Rock. Hard place.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Jack. He put a $100 bet on a pick six thrown by Mahomes in the first quarter. If it hits, your boy gets $326. Jack, that is not enough money.
That is not enough money.
Jack, you are getting screwed in this.
Yeah.
You put how much on it?
You $100 put $100 to win $326.
For a pick six in the first quarter.
Wow.
And you only win $300? Jack, I don't know
maybe
what Russian side.
Don't worry. Hey, we got a big announcement coming on a new sponsor, let's just say, that has to deal with the betting of the sports and the shorts.
Maybe
that,
he meant 3,000.
Maybe he meant 3,000. He might have.
Maybe he left off a zero.
I hope he's right.
All right, let's go to Finley O. He says, if you think the NFL going to Taylor Swift is bad, F1 is so thirsty for any celebrity in pits, you end up seeing them and missing some of the race. As our resident F1 guy, are you seeing this, David?
The races that I've watched before, they don't have commercials, which is great. The races.
Oh, okay.
Races, which is one of the cooler things about F1. I don't know. I'm not going to pretend like I've watched every F1 race, but they're pretty awesome. Look, now that Lewis Hamilton signed with Ferrari, they got all the attention in the world. They don't need any.
Look, y'all need to just let me be it. I'll be your Taylor
Swift. We should go to the race in Vegas next year, though.
We should. Shout out Good Ranchers.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, let's get to the calls.
All right, we got William on the line in Alabama. Sounds like he wants to get skyhooked, too. William, what's the situation in Alabama?
Skyhook, please get me out of here.
All right, hey, hold on 1 second. Justine, start the plane.
Start the plane.
Start the plane.
On it.
Justine's not in charge of starting the plane.
No.
She's a great driver.
I promise you.
Justine, no, for the love of God, Justine is not flying the plane. Make no mistake. That's not what I'm saying. She tells the person to go start the plane, and then she just continues to do what she does. Has no bearing. Justine, listen, I trust you for a lot of things. You can fly this show's plane, right? And help everybody else. You are not flying. I am not getting in a literal plane with you, all right?
But we have ahead, a dragon.
Go ahead, William. Sorry.
But this is your booster club chaplain here. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's up, man?
Good morning. Good morning to you, good sir.
But yeah, let me tell you, it's getting dicey around here being an Alabama fan and not toeing the party line.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
What'd you do?
I was one of the...
They're always watching.
I was one of the few that said Florida State deserved to be in the playoff.
Did you really?
That didn't get me any. Oh, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Is that when you turned into a chaplain?
Yeah, that's when this weird thing started. These people in suits started showing up.
Look, I feel you. I said the same thing. And my in-laws, it wasn't even direct family. It was the in-laws thought I was crazy. But look, the Michigan-Alabama game ended up.
That's why I didn't bring it up when we hung out.
Oh, it was great.
You guys, because, you know.
And now I'm like, Kalen DeBoer is a great hire, and I got people coming after me for that.
Really?
Good hire. Like, I just don't, this is what blows my mind. Nothing Alabama could have done would have resulted in a bad hire with the targets they were looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, Kalen DeBoer probably technically out of who they were looking at, maybe not the exact guy you wanted. Maybe it was down the list a little bit, probably three or four, but he's still fun.
I would say
the dude's won everywhere.
At worst, three.
Yeah.
Everywhere he's been.
Oh, I agree with you. It's other folks got the problem.
Yeah, your friend circle. We got to reevaluate that thing.
And then I'm a little bit down on the Alabama basketball team, which is not winning me any friends either.
Well, here's what I'll say about the basketball, and I'm not saying you're doing this, William, but I think we live in such a football-centric area that we view college basketball kind of through that same lens, how devastating one loss can be. Going on the road and playing in the SEC with as good as the conference is now, it's tough. Here's where I worry about Alabama. And I think it's one of the reasons why they haven't been able to make an Elite Eight or a Final Four or make a run with Nate Oates is because at some point, that style that you play, right, that run and gun, shoot threes, do it at the rim, not really have a true big man down there. Even I think if they had Betty Ako this year, it would be a lot different. Alabama has to shoot really, really well pretty much every game to be able to win against quality teams. Look at the points they've given up against Tennessee. Look at the points they've given up against anybody that has a heartbeat that they were playing on the road. You're not going to shoot fantastic every game, right? But when Alabama was really cooking, they were able to shut you down with Herb Jones and these guys. They played defense. They've had a big guy every now and then. I just feel like Alabama is so elite offensively. Estrada, really good player. Reitzel can fill it up. Mark Sears isn't going to win SEC Player of the Year, but he's going to be in the top three. But the problem is, I don't think y'all's guards play defense, and you don't have big men down low that you just got bullied by Auburn. You can sit here and cry about the fouls. Alabama was in the double bonus with 12 minutes to go in the second half, so I don't want to hear about that. You got bullied down low. At some point, I mean, you know, it's just you got to make some sort of an adjustment. Nate's won two SEC regular season championships, two SEC titles. That's great. But at the end of the day, you didn't make your move with Brandon Miller like in these guys because at some point, it's just not going to work through a 5-6 game stretch and against quality teams. That's what I see.
And against Mississippi State, like defense kind of showed up. They proved
Mississippi State can't shoot. Mississippi State can't shoot. Like they can't shoot. Like you stop Tulu Griffin decently, but like again, if you face a team that can shoot and has a big man that can actually do it, Alabama has to go out there and make 13 or 14 threes, which they can. Hell, they shot 48 of them the other night, not against Auburn, but the night before it. There's some holes there that I think limits the amount of ways that Alabama can beat teams. And when you do that, especially in any sport or especially in basketball, that's tough to win an NCAA tournament that way.
Oh, I agree. I got people saying they're going to go like Final Four, and I'm like, I don't see it, guys. I don't see it.
You're going to run up with somebody with a monster down low that Mark Sears got to start playing better defense. And Nate said that. I've been saying that for 3 weeks.
Well, now's the critical time. We're in February.
Got LSU.
Got to get hot right before the tournament.
Yep.
Appreciate it, William.
Thanks, Chaplin.
Thanks so much, man. All right, let's go to our boy Brian in Boston. Brian, what's up?
What's going on, gentlemen? I'm calling in for a little bit of therapy.
Okay.
Kind of a depressing week for me. But before I get into that, congratulations, David.
Thank you, sir.
Biggest thing you can do. You already know that, but best thing you can do in your life. Good job. Congratulations. And I hope everyone's healthy and well.
They are.
And I'm trying to add one to the party.
Yeah.
Yep. Not me, myself. Me and my wife are.
You'll play a part in it, though.
Well, look, I'm a big practice guy.
Yeah. Get the reps. What's going on, Brian? What's on your mind?
Right. So the real depression is this whole week used to be the New England Patriots Invitational. So to not be able to watch NFL Network all week, or when I did watch it to see like the old games, like those little 30-minute Super Bowl highlights, it was extremely depressing. And I know I might sound spoiled because of how great it was. I mean, I was 17 years old when Tom Brady won that first Super Bowl. Mm. And I got to go through my best years of sports watching through that dynasty. It was amazing. So I get it. Very lucky and fortunate, but it still hurts now to watch where they are, to watch everybody else get excited for a Super Bowl. And it just stinks. And I do think that Jake's boy Pennywise is going to come through and do it, because that reminds me of what I got to watch for 20 years. That, and it stinks because I don't want them to catch what the Patriots did, but it's the closest thing I think I'll ever see.
Yeah.
They're firing on all cylinders right now.
Well, Brian, there's two parallel tracks that I find fascinating, and one takes place in the NFL, and the other one takes place in college football. And what I mean by parallel track is not that they're exactly the same, but, you know, on one hand, Tom Brady got done, and we said, we will not see this again. We will not see somebody dominate the way Tom Brady has. And you look at Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs, I think they legitimately have an opportunity to get close, right? It's like when they used to say, oh, well, nobody ever is going to catch Jack Nicklaus's amount of Masters he won. And then Tiger gets close. Now, I don't think he's going to end up doing it, but he got close. Then you look at college football. Nick Saban retires. Everybody says, including myself, I don't think we're ever going to see a guy recreate that stretch that Nick Saban had when Alabama was really cooking. Well, then you look at it, and Kirby Smart has won two out of the last three national championships and probably has a top three team coming back in college football next year. So it's amazing. As crazy as what Tom Brady and the Patriots did, as crazy as what Nick Saban and Alabama did, we have a legitimate shot of somebody following right behind them that can do it. So I wouldn't, as far as this week turning into the Kansas City Invitational, which is what it's turned into, I wouldn't cry because it's over for the Patriots. I would still smile because it happened, Brian, because you could be a Lions fan, right? You could be a Browns fan. I mean, you could be a fan of all these other organizations that don't even sniff it, let alone six times.
That is true. And that's why, like, I definitely feel spoiled. It's like first world problems.
Yeah.
But like I said, it still kind of stinks because I was so used to it. Now, I do think that the reason KC's going to win is another theme of most of my calls. Kyle Shanahan is going to end up doing something to cost them the game at some point. I think a big decision is going to get made, and he's going to cost them. And before I go, Jake and Blaine, Flame and Dragon, have given me followbacks on Twitter. Just waiting on Mr. Cone.
I'll follow you right now, man. Brian from Boston.
Let's get it. Yeah. Hey. I'm trying to get up to Boston, man. I'm trying to get up there. I've never been up there.
Oh, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, I want to go in the National Treasure route. Like, I want to find like something behind a brick at like some church, you know, in Boston, and that leads me to another clue.
All cobblestone.
Yeah.
Everything's cobblestone. We'll be yelling, the British are coming, Sam Adams, all that good stuff.
Oh, I'm going to dress up like Ben Franklin.
That sounds great.
That does sound awesome. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do in Europe.
Yeah, take me to the Red Sox stadium. I got some things to take care of.
Yeah.
All right. Send me a message on Twitter.
Appreciate it, Brian.
See you, Brian. All right, let's go to Matthew in Arkansas. We got a Pongo alert. Matthew, what's up?
What's up, boys? It's the heartbroken hug here.
Man,
there he is.
What's up, dog?
I am not heartbroken this week because I ain't even worried about Arkansas. Cause
hey, you get over that girl.
About to get their third.
Hey.
And y'all may not remember this, but I did call in before the season to predict the Chiefs to go 20-0. Obviously, that wasn't even close, but I never had a doubt that we would be right here in the end.
I'm starting to think you may be Nick Wright. You may really be Nick Wright.
There was never a doubt, y'all. But we all know that Mahomes is only chasing one man at this point, Tom Brady.
Yeah.
And I have a couple interesting stats for you guys. So in the history of the Super Bowl, when trailing by 10 or more points, all quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes is 2-1, Tom Brady is 2-1, everybody else is 2-47.
Wow. And Mahomes is 10-1 against the spread, right, in the playoffs?
Is he really 10-1?
Somebody said.
I said that.
I'm telling you, that right there, that goes to show you, man. That you talk about guts.
I think he's 10-1 as the underdog.
10-1 as the underdog, yeah. It's that. You know what's crazy? Like, Matthew, that doesn't even surprise me, though, for real. Like, if I could see that being the outlier, one of the many outliers between Patrick Mahomes, Tom Brady, and then everybody else.
It just feels
this next
like
one
it,
is
this,
definitely going
to
shock
this.
You.
This feels like a movie to me, right? You got Patrick Mahomes, the big villain boss, the strongest, that has all the powers, runs this, runs that. Then you just have this innocent little pure kid, right? And Brock Purdy, who doesn't know his grandfather, but apparently he's like a holy knight like the rest of them. And the only thing, the prophecy, right?
Yes.
The only thing that can take him down is Brock Purdy.
Yes.
Wow.
The boy,
prophecy.
Hey, Brock
there
Purdy,
you go.
The boy who
the
lived.
The boy who lived.
Comes to die.
You got another stat,
right,
Matthew?
So another thing.
Oh, hit us with it.
Tom Brady played 48 career playoff games.
Damn.
Patrick Mahomes has 17 career playoff games. How many total games do you think each player has with a passer rating of 110 or higher?
Out of just the playoffs?
So between Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, Brady has 48 games. So the total between the two are how many each one of them have, or who has the most?
How many each has?
I would say Patrick Mahomes has pass rating above 110. Patrick Mahomes has 11, and Tom Brady has 21.
For Brady, I'll say, give me 40. And for Patrick Mahomes, I'll say 14.
This is going to blow y'all away. Tom Brady only has 10 games. He's 9-1 in those games. Patrick Mahomes is 8-1.
Wow.
He only needs one more game to have as many career playoff games as Tom Brady with a passer rating of 110 or higher.
I would not have guessed that. Mm. Shows you that defense, that Patriots defense, buddy. But
and
nice stuff.
I think I know some of why people hate this Chiefs team so much, and it goes back.
Because they win, Matthew. Because they win.
Because if you look at the AFC, since Tom Brady got into the league – and you had a direct, though all those straight New England Patriots teams from 2011 to 2018, all in the AFC Championship game, Tom Brady's winning everything. You have a direct handoff in 2018 from Mahomes or from Brady to Mahomes. And if you're another team in the AFC, you're going, so just because I can't get Brady or Ben Roethlisberger gets a couple or Peyton Manning, I don't get one of these all-time top 5, top 10 QBs. I have to go my whole adult life without even getting to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Hey, look, it's how it is, man. But Matthew, look, you got to put this Arkansas basketball season behind you. Hey, baseball season's right around the corner, buddy. And if Arkansas can do anything right, that happens on that diet.
Hey, do we know who runs the Arkansas YouTube account?
Oh yeah, Matthew, have you found that out yet?
We do not.
Oh, we're gonna find that out. And there's going to be pictures.
I need pictures.
And there's going to be a roast session.
Yeah.
Yeah, you better hope you're in shape.
Right. You better hope there's nothing wrong.
Yeah,
live stream, y'all.
All right, buddy. We'll see you Sunday.
Appreciate it, Matthew. All right, let's go to Josh in North Carolina.
Here we go.
Josh, what drama have you started today?
Oh, you missed it, Connie.
What did I miss?
Oh,
fill me in.
Before I go scorched earth on this puke fan, I just wanted to congratulate Cone and Darby Lou on another bringing another child into this world.
Very classy start to this call.
Truly happy for y'all. And hopefully one day, I could have a few of my own. So,
hey, D.A., you need some little Voltars running around.
Right. And with that, I will explain how Duke will forever be UNC's little brother, and here's why.
All right, Josh, you want motivational music? Do you want motivational music?
Oh, no, I don't need motivational music. I'm just going to let the facts talk.
Wow, he's going a cappella. Wow, he's going a cappella. All right, go ahead. Floor is yours.
When you look at the rivalry's all-time record, UNC has the most wins, 144 to 117. UNC has the longest winning streak in the rivalry with 16 wins in a row. UNC has the largest margin of victory in the rivalry of 53 points. And, to put the cream on top of the cake, UNC beat Duke in Coach K's final home game at Cameron Indoor when he had to have a year-long retirement tour that I had to hear about every day when I was watching college basketball, and we did it in front of 96 former Duke alumni basketball players. How embarrassing. Then the absolute cherry on top was when we beat you and your beloved coach in his final tournament game, which just so happened to be the Final Four. Now let's take a macro view of UNC versus Duke. UNC, 32 regular season ACC titles, and 18 ACC tournament championships. Duke has 20 regular season ACC titles and 19 ACC tournament championships. UNC has 6 national championships. Duke has 5 national championships. UNC has made a record 21 Final Fours. Duke has only made 17 Final Fours. Oh, and by the way, that pathetic basketball team, Tennessee, that you talked about, consistently getting bounced in the first and second round, beat your team last year and sent them packing and crying home to their mama in the round of 32. So why don't you celebrate a recent GOAT that passed away the other day and play Toby Keith, who's your daddy, because UNC will forever and always be Duke's dad.
All right, look, I gotta give it up. That's pretty good, Josh.
Hate.
I love
it.
You're bringing in facts. You brought in everything. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna be honest with you. If you're a Duke fan, especially the way it's going right now, you look at the trajectories. I know North Carolina lost the other day to Clemson, but it feels like North Carolina's going up and Duke's kind of falling off. But Duke is getting Cooper Flagg, I think. Which, if you've watched that dude, I mean, he's literally hanging out with the rest of the Monstars on Moron Mountain.
That's what happens all the time. Duke gets all these.
I say the same thing about Kentucky. I'm with you. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you, Josh. Yeah. No. Look,
UNC has had multiple coaches who have not only won national championships but have sniffed multiple Final Fours. I mean, you just got to go back to it. Coach K, before Coach K, Duke wore freaking brown bags to the games, and I think his rival was NC State.
I get you.
Forget that.
Yeah,
Duke was it started. That. How did this happen?
Someone called in yesterday.
A Duke fan called in
yesterday
and literally
said that he's walking in Josh's house.
Yeah,
all right. Opening the fridge.
Yeah,
eating a sandwich.
Wow.
Kissing his wife.
Yeah, in
and
front of him.
Sitting in his lounge chair in the living room.
In front of him. Really? And kicking his dog.
A fan said that yesterday.
Yeah. But Josh, I'm going to be honest. I'm interested to see the callback on. You know what's a great. Just what the thing that I heard the most out of that was, and this shows you how many Final Fours North Carolina has. He goes, Duke only has 17 Final Fours. Dude, we made one Final Four at Auburn, and I'm like, yes!
Yeah. Oh,
yes!
Yeah. We'll never let it go.
That's right. Forever.
Never let it go.
Forever.
Great call, Josh.
Right, we were, guys.
See we you, were at that Duke North Carolina Final Four.
Yeah, that's when Armando broke the four, right?
Yeah, we talked about it the other day. I've never seen that ever happen again. A guy break the floor.
No, I haven't seen it. Either.
Insane. All right, we got more callers on the line. Let's go to Smoking Gator in Tampa, Florida. How you doing,
man? Tampa, KD.
Tampa.
Good morning, gentlemen. And first off, I would like to congratulate Mr. Cohn on his third kid. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. His Faja.
A lot of congratulations. For his, like, yeah, congrats on the national championship.
All down
congrats on having a kid.
He's like one of the members of royalty. Good. They're like, oh, congratulations on your breakfast.
I peaked at 36. It's all downhill.
Oh, I love it.
That's a good peak.
That's a great peak. That's Dante's peak.
What's on your mind, man?
All right, guys. I have some numbers that I want to give to you, okay?
Okay.
Player A, through five games, 13 touchdowns and 8 interceptions. Player B, through the entire season, 28 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. And I'm talking about touchdown passes, by the way.
Yeah.
Player A is Joe Flacco. Player B is Baker Mayfield. How in the world did Joe Flacco win Comeback Player of the Year over Baker Mayfield?
Is it official?
Are you freaking...
Is it official that he did?
It is official.
Yeah.
That's bad. Yeah. That's bad.
Are you freaking
That's bad.
Me?
And That's
I do,
bad.
I do yeah. not want to hear I do not want to hear this bull honky about, Joe Flacco helped land the Browns to the play. No, son, no. Joe Flacco took over for a team that was already winning with 1,000 quarterbacks. Meanwhile, Baker Mayfield quite literally played the entire season and was way more of a contributing factor to the Bucs making the playoffs than Joe Flacco was for the Browns. And like I said, you know, I don't want to hear that nonsense about look at what Joe Flacco did. You know, like look at what Joe Flacco did. And by the way, may I remind you, like I said, Baker Mayfield played the entire season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought this was the Comeback Player of the Year award, not the Comeback Player of the Five Games award. And media members, may I remind you that you guys are the same people that thought that we were going to tank with Baker Mayfield. And yeah, I thought we were going to go 7-10, but one, that still would not have been among the worst records. And two, at the end of the day, I'm not a member of the media. So my vote doesn't matter. My vote doesn't count. Are y'all's egos seriously that hurt because Baker Mayfield shattered your narrative and proved you wrong? Because you guys are fools. You guys are gutless. You're frauds, and you have less integrity than a pack of swamp rats.
Tell them.
Bums.
Look, it's flaming dragon.
We had
Friday.
Just talked about that.
Yeah,
before I went
it's out. It's a joke.
My
100% joke.
This to me, and I want to say this, I got a lot of respect for Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco's done wonders in the league. My biggest problem is obviously the amount of games played, right? It's impossible for you to try and convince me that Joe Flacco should have won that, the amount of games that he played compared to what Baker Mayfield did all year. But this really has vibes of when you're playing travel ball and the coach of the travel ball team is one of the kids' dads, and he gets to play shortstop, even though he's not really the best shortstop. This gives me like those type of vibes. Like it's personal. Like it's not about who really was the Comeback Player of the Year. It was about somebody pissed somebody else off and therefore didn't get it. I don't know what I don't know why people hate Baker as much as they do. It's weird. You talk about an underdog story, a guy coming out of nowhere, a walk-on in college. I mean, hell, at least Brock Purdy had a scholarship from Iowa State. When he went there, started there. But this, it just numerically does not make sense to me. If you look at the journey throughout the season, it does not make sense to me. There's nothing in the playoff that separated Joe Flacco from Baker Mayfield where maybe you could make that argument. I don't know.
Is there a stipulation in the Comeback Player of the Year? Like, what qualifies you to win the award? Do you have to have been injured like the year
before? I don't know.
Because I thought it was going to come down between Baker and Tua because we talked about Tua had gotten.
Well, I'm glad they didn't give it to DeMar Hamlin.
Or yeah, that's interesting. Too.
For I mean, playing special teams.
Here's the thing: if they get that fake punt with DeMar Hamlin and the Bills, do they give
Probably.
It to him?
I think they wanted to do everything they
do
could.
Do you realize the Bills tried to make like the biggest story like in the history of the NFL? Guy dies, come back to life on the field next year, runs a fake punt in the playoff to help finally get the humps over. Sean McDermott was going
it.
For the he was going for the J.K. Rowling story.
Newsflash: he didn't get it.
Yeah, he didn't, and now nobody talks about it anymore.
Glad he's still alive. Glad he's still playing.
Smokey Gator, man, great call. That's that sucks.
That was awesome, man. Thank you. I missed that somewhere. All right, let's go to Kirk in Canada. Kirk, what's up,
Kirky?
Hey guys.
What's up, dog?
Welcome from the Great White North. It was only a balmy minus 10 this morning, so it wasn't too bad.
Minus 10.
Which is 14 degrees.
I just got cold.
kill me. They just turn the air on in here, and I'm freezing.
Yeah, like it's...
Man up.
What?
Listen to Justine.
Yeah. She's salty. That's why she can't fly the plane. She's too emotional.
I know the proper pronunciation of that gentleman, Brzustewicz. Remember that?
Yeah. What, how do you pronounce it?
Brustewicz.
Brustewicz. What did Blaine say? Blaine was like, his name is.
Oh, is that? Wait, is that the over? Or is that
that's
the
one?
What about
one.
The other
that's
one?
That's one. That's one. Hey.
Throw it back there.
Did you
come
go back
on.
And look at it? Did you go back and look at
it? Please say it twice.
I did not say it twice.
That's what Director Trey is telling me.
Kirk Keys, my guy, dude. 12 and a half, baby.
All right, next caller.
Woo, Kirk Keys.
Hey, hold on. Cancel the skyhook. Let him freeze to death.
You're going to freeze to death.
Say it. You said it.
Yeah, he did. Go ahead, Kirk.
Stupid ass game.
If you want, Kirk.
Well, first things first, congratulations on new baby cone. That's
thank you,
awesome,
sir.
Awesome. And your awesome wife. We had four, and the oldest hadn't even turned six yet, so we'll see. You guys are on pace for sure.
Good. Congrats, man. I think
my day is ruined.
Okay, Kirk, big win by the Flyers, home dogs last night.
Did they win?
4-1 win, yeah.
60 points for the Flyers, 60 points for the Maple Leafs, so woo! Neck and neck.
Yeah, with zero.
You got to send that that raccoon pelt.
Yeah,
$50 bill, whatever y'all doing up there down here.
Right.
That quail egg or
speaking
whatever.
Speaking of which, I got to send Sasha something. I got to send
Yeah, dude. Hey, we need to put that Salt Lake barbecue shirt up here.
Yeah.
I'm going to bring it tomorrow.
I got to do
that. I mean, Sunday.
Quick cocky note. I'm not sure if you guys realize, but Sidney Crosby's climbing the all-time points list. He passed Joe Thornton for 12th overall.
Wow.
And now he's trying to chase Ray Bourque probably in about two or
Ray
three
Bork.
Weeks. He'll be 11th overall.
Is anyone even close to Gretzky?
I was going to ask, where will Sidney Crosby go down when he finishes his playing career? I mean, is he a top 10 player? Is he better than that, worse than that?
Oh, yeah.
Top 10?
Oh, yeah. He'll be top 10.
Top 5?
Two Olympic gold medals, 3 Stanley Cups.
Top 5?
MVPs. Maybe top 5, yeah. Hmm. It's hard to gauge, let's say, a Gordie Howe from a completely different generation.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But,
yeah.
As far as I would put him as the generational player of this, of this era for sure. And then
Kirk, I think you're the generational player of this era when it comes to Dragon Friday, Kirk.
What about Ovechkin?
How much does poison cost?
I heard it's cheap.
Yeah.
What about Ovechkin, quickly? Who will go down as a greater hockey player in the NHL, Ovechkin or Sidney Crosby?
That's a good one. They were both drafted first overall 1 year apart, so... That'll be debated. That's like saying in 15 years they're going to be talking about Mahomes and Brady in the same way.
Yeah,
but
true.
Interestingly, I just did a little research the other day. Ovechkin is only 61 goals away from breaking the all-time record by Wayne Gretzky with 80.
He's only 61?
Wow.
Is he going to get there, Kirk?
Get it?
Is he going to get there?
I hope not, boys. I grew up 20 minutes up the road from Gretzky. I don't want anybody breaking that record.
Yeah, but like realistic, not what you hope, but like do you think there's a good chance he's going to do it?
I would give him about a 20% chance
because
he's only got 9 goals on this season. He needed 24 goals for 3 seasons straight in order to break it, and he's only got 9 and the season's half over. So if he can play till he's 43, maybe, but he's definitely slowing down.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Thank you, Kirk.
Kirk, great call.
Thank you, Kirk.
You blew it.
All right, let's go to Tristan in Tennessee.
Tristan,
how you doing?
What a great Friday, Tristan.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, dude?
What's up?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Do you hear us?
Okay. First of all, I'd like to say you guys have over 100,000 subscribers. People should like the podcast.
Yeah, they should. Thank you, Tristan.
Yeah, and then I got a bone to pick with David Cone.
Good.
Hey, no congratulations on this call.
Pick away, Tristan. Yeah.
Did you not set your alarm yesterday?
Dave?
Did I not set my alarm yesterday?
Yesterday for the show?
No, I did not set my alarm yesterday.
Well, A certain producer said to call in and talk smack. So.
Oh, yes, he did. Cody, I don't think Cody needed a set alarm yesterday. Yeah, he probably didn't go to bed.
Waking up every 30 minutes.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little lost. You got to catch me up here. I haven't slept in 72 hours.
David, it's funny. David doesn't really sleep, though. Yeah. Like, in his planet, they only sleep 3 hours a week.
So, Tristan, what's going on, dude? What's on your mind?
Now, okay, so I was going to ask you about Michigan and the NIL. So, do you think coaches are leaving these college, because it's already hard enough to recruit, and then you got the NIL on top of that. Do you think a lot of these coaches are just like, I'm just not going to deal with it?
Well, it was funny enough, when you talk about Michigan and the NIL, Michigan's not going all in on name, image, and likeness. I mean, this is one of the things that we had talked about with Athletic Director Ward Manuel. So I think new head coach Sharon Moore is fighting an uphill battle, and it's an entire university, not just the football program. I think Michigan is waiting for the NCAA or whatever new entity gets formed to figure out name, image, and likeness before they go in. And they're going to look at their biggest rival this year, spend $13 million on this class, and the Buckeyes are going to be really, really good. So I don't know. Maybe they're just hoping to live off this championship for a while.
Well, Tristan, I think you're, and David's 100% right. Look, here's my problem with this whole narrative that everybody's leaving college football to go to the NFL because of the new rules. Maybe some of the older coaches. I think in college basketball, we saw kind of Jim Boeheim's departure get sped up. I think we saw Roy Williams' departure get sped up. Coach K's departure get sped up. We've seen a couple other guys. But, like, everybody's acting like these young coaches are like, going to the NFL is a bad thing. Like, it's the highest level of your business. What other business do we sit here and say, oh, well, he's leaving to be his branch manager role to be the CEO.
Yeah.
So, man, it must just suck to be a branch manager because of the new hours they're doing. No, it's to me, coaching is getting young. It's a younger man's game every year. We're kind of trending toward that anyway. But, I mean, Wink Martindale's coming from the NFL back. Bill Belichick's son now is apparently going back to the NFL when he said he was going to Washington. We'll see there. But I'm not worried about college coaches leaving college to go to the NFL because somehow college football now is a problem. A lot of the mainstay, Kirby ain't going anywhere.
No.
Right?
Dan Lanning.
Yeah, Dan Lanning ain't going anywhere.
Sark
ain't going anywhere. Like, it just, I think it's a little overblown.
That's a great question, though, Tris.
Yeah. Thanks, Tristan.
Appreciate it, Tristan.
Appreciate it, bud. You have a good day.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man.
All right, Kevin, call in next Monday, man. We'll get to you Monday, and you say Pongo.
All right. Let's get to bets. Then we get to Booster Club, read these donos, and then let the weekend get started.
Super Bowl weekend!
Super Bowl weekend with the boys!
It's like happy and sad at the same time.
I know. Big football game, last football game
last
in a while.
Last football game, man.
Yeah. All right. Listen, 2-0 last night. Want to thank my good friend at Oregon State, everybody involved there, the Beavers, damn up. Right? Who gives a damn? We do. All right. Plus 8.5, lost by 6. Love it. And then my other bet hit, which is the over. Arizona State.
Yeah,
Colorado.
That's right. Yeah.
Took the over there yesterday. Really excited about that. Look, we're trying to keep the vibes tonight. All right. 4-0 the last 2 days, but nobody's talking about it. Give me VCU Dayton under 135.5. Under that. And then I'm going to go over Nevada San Diego State.
Okay.
That's at 140.5. Both those bets are at -112. We got a serious bet bud situation.
Oh, we got bet bud situation?
Yeah.
Are you taking Dayton?
I'm rolling with you.
Let's do it. Dayton -1.5, -108. And I'm going to take the under in the San Diego State Nevada game the under is at 140.5, and the odds are -108.
All right, 1-1 yesterday. Flyers came through for your boy with a little dog pick.
Plus money,
baby. Avs did end up losing, so we'll take it. Give me Dayton. I'm going to roll with Coney on that one. -1.5, that's -108. Then give me Penguins money line. They're on the road at the Wild. I think they pulled a little hockey bet, and it's starting to come along.
Yeah.
Might as well.
I'm ready for those Nerfies and Yerfies around the corner. Ace, he's going to keep it on the ice with the Oilers. -1.5, that's -110. He's going to get wild with Minnesota at +102. All right. Beach Club.
I was getting some donations. I'll start off with Chase Mills, $5 donation. Cone, do you think Wink will be able to step in and recruit this generation at a high level? Been a long time since he was in the college game.
I don't think he's there for the recruiting. What Michigan has done defensively the past 3 seasons with Jesse Minter and Mike McDonald is they have made their adjustments at halftime better than anyone in the country. They've been shutting teams down. I think
let the guys who are great at recruiting, who are still on staff, the Mike Harts of the world, Denard Robinsons of the world, let those guys go and recruit the best players. Have someone like Wink Martindale, who will probably only be there for a season or two, right?
Either cardboard
back
cut
to the
out.
NFL or probably either return to the NFL or maybe even retire. Hey, just help us block this dam right now with all of these coaches following Jim Harbaugh, and we're going to recruit. We already have a lot of really good players on defense, like you were talking about. Come in, give us that NFL defensive expertise, and help us get Sharon Moore off to a great start. That's how I see it.
Let's go to Carson Everett with a $5 donation. Carson, appreciate it. He's a designated driver here. Roll Tide to Darby, Lou, and David for the baby. The trust tree keeps on growing.
It does.
And congrats, Sensei Flaming Dragon. Takes bow.
God, I just want to be ninja.
Congrats. Let's go to CLB with a $5 donation. As much as Baker Mayfield deserved comeback player of the year, Baker Mayfield finished third behind DeMar Hamlin and Joe Flacco.
But that's even worse.
Better for Flacco to win than Hamlin in my own.
But that's even worse, though. Like, what?
There's a personal vendetta there has to be. Baker Mayfield.
Somebody explain it to me where there's not a personal vendetta.
It makes zero sense. Let's go to Ryan Gade with a $5 donation. You brought it up earlier. 48 days till Nerfy season.
Yes.
And 48 days till the Phillies kick the Braves' ass.
Okay, Ryan.
Ryan, like way, I love
like,
it.
I was really excited when you started that.
I love
it. You got to finish it. Like, listen, I'll say this, though. To the Atlanta Braves organization, to everybody involved, to Austin Riley, Alex Anthopoulos, hell, even Chris Sale, my body's ready. I'm ready to be hurt again.
Your body's ready?
My body's ready to be hurt again.
All right, let's go back to Chase with another donation. $2. Appreciate it, Chase. Thoughts on Mike Zimmer as Cowboys' new DC?
I like it. I mean, he's an old head. You know, you look at the pieces he has. I'm more interested to see what the Cowboys are going to do after they have to pay all these guys. That's what I'm interested to see with Dak's contract, CeeDee Lamb. Obviously, look at Micah. We know their offensive line is about the best money can buy. But Mike Zimmer, he's you know what you're going to get. The guy knows ball, has been around the NFL for a long time, and I think it's a good hire.
I have one thing here real quick. So by definition, the Comeback Player of the Year award is given to a player who shows perseverance in overcoming adversity in the form of not being in the NFL the previous year, whether that's due to severe injury or simply poor performance, even if you play only one snap. So if the number of snaps doesn't count, it seems like DeMar Hamlin would have been the obvious choice.
Well, why? How does Baker Mayfield finish third then?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, how did you get any votes then if that's the case?
Yeah, that's just stupid. All right, let's go to Farmer Jake, $7 donation. Appreciate it. Good morning, boosters. Congrats to David, first of all.
Thank you.
Stoked for the Super Bowl weekend. And just a friendly reminder
yeah.
to Justine to watch her language.
Yes.
I'm glad that all needs to be out there. Let's go to Pokey Texan, $5 donation. Poll answers. Are we talking over beers or Netflix and chill? The latter goes to Britt. Justine, she's hot. Taylor Swift, mid.
I don't know if Brittany Mahomes is like just unbelievably attractive to me. She's a good-looking girl, but I'm not like, wow. Mm. But if you saw Patrick Mahomes' wife and then you showed another picture, I'd be like, man.
Talk different.
She looks like got those crazy eyes, man.
All right, I don't know if I read this. If I did, I'm going to read it again. Justin Alfaro with a $2 donation. Thoughts on Wink to Michigan.
We just hit that.
So let's go to Scotty King.
Scotty.
$10. Scotty, told you I was going to get to you, man.
Scotty doesn't know.
Moving to level 40 tomorrow.
Let's go. Wow.
War Damn Eagle, fellas. Hashtag big boss.
Hey, level 40, you're getting up there. You're fighting, like right now, you're in Gotham City out fighting leaders of the gangs. We're not to the Penguin yet, or the Joker, which I hope it takes you a while. But no, congrats, my friend.
All right, that's all the donations for today. We're going to get to the poll that I messed up on, actually. Fergie Ferg just sent a $10 donation. Thank you. We've been reading the signs wrong, fellas. Swift's favorite number is 13. 13 Purdy to take down the Ice Queen at Mahomes. It looks like he took his mom's phone and he runs with the football.
What if Brock Purdy walks it off and then goes and just kisses Taylor Swift and they just go off to...
Wow.
That'd be the most gangster thing I've ever seen in my life.
Steals Travis's girl? I don't see
Mr.
that.
Mr. Irrelevant, now super duper irrelevant.
You want to talk about a hit song?
Oh, God. It's all Purdy from here. God, just that's write it good. Down. Just sign
that's
it.
That's Pat McCraney Company.
Yeah, Pat McCraney Company.
All right. Who would you rather hang out with?
Okay.
All right. Taylor Swift, Jackson Mahomes.
Oh, come on, man.
Brittany Mahomes. And this is where I messed up. It's supposed to be Pat Mahomes Sr.
You put Patrick Mahomes.
I just put Pat Mahomes.
It's a simple life.
But
if you're eliminating,
we're going to keep it as Pat Mahomes Sr. So Taylor Swift, Jackson Mahomes, Brittany Mahomes, and Pat Mahomes.
Pat Mahomes Sr., 80%.
I'd hang out with Taylor Swift.
Great songwriter. Like, I'm trying to get some of my songs out there.
Yeah, that's it.
You want to hear it?
All right. Jackson Mahomes.
0%.
2%.
What?
Whoever the 2% is, get out.
Yeah, whatever 2%, like, I'm concerned.
Brittany Mahomes, 7%.
I get it.
Taylor Swift, 30%. Pat Mahomes, senior, 61%.
Look, y'all like to drink. Buy this man a chauffeur. All right, David, great to have you back, man. Congratulations.
Great
good job, chat.
Good job, Chad. Sister Riggs, get off my case.
Sister Riggs, right, get on his case. Do? Stay on his
she
case.
She didn't want to see me win on Friday, dude.
I love it. Sister Riggs is about
love it. Love it, Sister Riggs.
She's about it.
Y'all give a shout out to Darby Lou, too, on social media and everything.
Great job, Darby.
If there's an MVP award.
You want to talk about comeback player of the year?
Yeah.
Wow. God, 3 under 3. Let's get it. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. We got the live stream of the Super Bowl Sunday, 6:15 p.m. Eastern. And like the football game.
Will you catch a card?
I'm going to focus. Until 2024 is over. We're going. No! No, the card. Stop giving me these light cards. We're gone, but I'm pissed.